Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
I can't stand violence. I hate it. I hate admitting it takes place. I hate seeing it. I hate talking about it. But after a disturbingly violent few days, we brace for the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis. Lawmakers on the left are already calling for confrontation after the verdict is rendered. Buckle up. This could be a bad week all over America, and we can't ignore that here. No mask, no problem. I'm 4 days mask-free, and nobody has said a word. After finding out nobody's been cited in Johnson County and no business has been cited, I've decided to be an experiment. I'll tell you how it went. After all, a new study in Israel is leading to a conclusion that those that have had COVID are better off not getting the vaccine. This seems like common sense to me, and now it's proving true. That won't make some members of my own family very happy. In sports, how many podcasts can we talk about Salvador Perez? This guy's just a freak. I hope we all appreciate we're watching greatness day in and day out. He may not be Patrick Mahomes or George Brett, but I'd really like to think if I ever made it to the big leagues, I would play the game the way Salvador Perez plays it. He's so awesome. Sporting Kansas City opened the season with a win using a 19-year-old fourth-string goalkeeper. This is quite a story. And I promised myself I'd never root for golfer Stuart Sink again. But I changed my mind this weekend as Sink was winning at Hilton Head on the PGA Tour. This story involves Tom Watson and Ronald Reagan. You're going to want to hear it. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. A sister of a friend of mine contacted me over the weekend. They live in Branson, Missouri, and said, hey, we love your podcast so much and your sponsors so much. We're looking for a Chevy Tahoe. How can we get one from Roberts Robinson? We want to have it built. We want to order it just the way we want it. I said, great. I'll get you in touch with Mike or Tim. Tim Trader is the general manager there on the showroom floor. He can hook you up too. Got them together on the phone. They're working on it. They're going to build it out this week, send it off to the factory and have it made. They'll deliver it to you, even in Branson, wherever you are. Or they spend a lot of time in Kansas City visiting as well. They may pick it up then and drive it home. That's so unbelievable. I cannot thank you folks enough for supporting the sponsors of this podcast, knowing that you're doing business with like-minded people. And the folks at Roberts Robinson, best ever. Just the best ever. And the best way to get a GM product right now is to order it, okay? The inventory's not great. They've got the computer chip shortage, whatever. If you order the car, you go to the front of the line, and you're going to get it just the way you want it anyway. Just the way you want it, perfectly. It actually saves you money doing it that way. Check it out online at robertsrobinson.com or call the dealership anytime, no matter where you live. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems. Folks, if you're some kind of a mechanical contractor or a company of this nature, you work for one, or you know somebody that's in that business, they should really get a hold of Elite Automation. Everybody wins with Elite Automation. I mean, what can be wrong with a business plan where the business saves money and everybody wins? This is a wonderful company. They design and install these building systems that can save you thousands off your utility bills. Schools, churches, offices, warehouses, you name it, they can do it. They can help you make your building great again. Or if you don't want to put the new equipment in, they have a consulting arm called Elite Energy where they'll come and just consult for you. And when they save you money each month, you kick a percentage to them. Online at eliteautomate.com or call Brad or one of the team at 766-2188. That's 913-766-2188. Brad's a big Mizzou fan. Big Mizzou fan. Come on, Tiger fans. Give him a call over there at eliteautomate.com. And back nine development, TJ Vilkanskis. I'm going to see TJ here in a couple weeks. I'm going to be in Manhattan for a golf tournament at Colbert Hills. It's the anniversary of the opening of Colbert Hills. We're looking forward to that. And I'm going to get a personal tour of the Solheim condominiums there between the first and the 10th holes at Colbert Hills. I know of one friend that is getting a condo there. I have another who's going in with some siblings. They spend a lot of time in Manhattan with kids in college and sporting events and things like that. They're going to go together, pool their money, and get a place to go. And they like to boat out at Tuttle Creek and spend some time there. It's a great way to do it. The Solheim condominiums at Grandmere. Lock and leave, baby. Lock and leave. If you like to hunt in the area, live in the outdoors, golf, use the lake, whatever it may be, it's a great getaway. The Solheim at Grandmere in Manhattan on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Online at back9development.com. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Give my buddy TJ a shout. All right, I hate violence. I hate talking about violence, but we can't ignore it because we had a lot of it over the last few days, and this could be a really bumpy week in this country. Hit it.
Sports, politics, life. B-Stock Electronics Outlet Store presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at bstock.net.
Violence is one of my least favorite topics. Period, end of statement. I don't like it. I don't like violent movies. I think violence is senseless and ridiculous. And people that become violent and hit somebody else or hurt somebody else or shoot somebody else or commit a crime like that are the worst among us. I don't like it in art. I don't like it in video games. I just don't like it. I wish it didn't exist. I don't want to see blood. I don't like to see gory stuff. I hate these videos that are running around on Twitter and social media of things that are happening on the streets. I don't want to see buildings burned. I don't like to see the looting. I don't like to see rioting. I hate it all. So I'll start with this. It pains me a little bit to lead this podcast, first podcast of the week on a Monday, talking about violence. I would rather not talk about violence. I would rather not talk about wars or conflicts or bombs or shootings or stabbings. It all makes me sick. I hate it. I think for me personally, and I won't go into a long, discussion of this, but I think it goes back. I saw a movie called The Deer Hunter at too young of an age. That's just my guess. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a professional. I don't know. I just know how I felt. I think I was 12. I just know what happened to me when I watched those scenes with the Russian roulette and saw that happen, and I couldn't believe it. I don't like horror movies. I avoid them all. I've seen some movies that have had some gory stuff in it and appreciated the films for what they are. Saving Private Ryan comes to mind, but that's too violent for me. I'll never watch it again. I saw it the one time, and I won't watch it again. There's a lot of movies that I would like to see, but I just know they're too violent, and I just don't. I hate it. But I think violence will be the story in America this week. It was certainly the story of the weekend in the last few days. The Chauvin trial in Minneapolis, it looks like, is going to conclude. The closing arguments are being made. They are prepping for, most people who are fair about this believe that the jury will convict Derek Chauvin of manslaughter, but not murder. That won't be good enough. In fact, I'll go as far as to say if they do convict him of murder, there will still be rioting and crazy things happen in Minneapolis. They may turn police cars over. I don't know what they'll do. It will be at that point, it will be like a Super Bowl celebration gone out of control. If they get him for murder, it'll be a celebration, but that too will involve fire and mayhem and broken glass and all kinds of restraint and stuff needed from the authorities to keep Minneapolis from just being destroyed. So it's going to happen no matter what the verdict. It will be unbelievable if it's manslaughter. They'll lose their minds. And if he's not guilty, which I don't think they will. I think you can make from studying the facts and watching the case, you can make a pretty strong argument that there is reasonable doubt. I mean, when you think about the having three times the lethal, not legal, the lethal amount of fentanyl in your system, you've created enough doubt there, reasonable doubt, that if they just let him lay on the ground, he could have died. He was overdosing. There's no question he was overdosing on drugs when all this occurred. That's not even in question. So everyone on the jury knows that. Amphetamines, fentanyl, all kind of previous, 5-day stay in the hospital from overdosing on drugs just a month earlier, a couple months earlier. George Floyd was on a path to overdosing. There's no question in his life. He was going to overdose of drugs. He was a drug addict, and he was going to overdose and die. And we've seen the numbers on that. 87,000 people did that last year in 2020 in the United States. 87,000 drug overdoses. George Floyd was going to be one of them. Whether Derek Chauvin kneed on his neck or not, I believe, from hearing the facts and the doctors and whatnot, preconditions, enlarged heart, he had coronary blockage. He had all kinds of health issues. He didn't have a healthy existence anyway. And maybe he took the drugs to feel better. I don't know. I can't speak about being an addict, but I think there's clearly reasonable doubt here. The question would be, would he have died no matter what happened? He may have, So look, the standard is reasonable doubt, but I think that jury knows they have to do something or there's going to be violence. This is going to be, I think, this is just a prediction, and I don't know, I'm not an expert. I think they're going to get him on manslaughter. And I think the jury is going to be thinking, let's get him on the manslaughter. That'll keep the riots from happening. He's going to go to jail, but we can't really say this was murder. You know, we don't know for sure that he murdered him. We don't know if this was a perfectly healthy person, if he did for 9 minutes or whatever with the knee thing, that this person would have died. And that seems like it could be a reasonable position. But I do think the jury will do that because they're going to say, we'll keep the city from being violent. And this goes back to the late, great Rush Limbaugh, who says you can't give the liberals anything because it's never enough. If you give them manslaughter, they're going to go crazy in Minneapolis. They're going to go crazy all across America. We're going to have violence everywhere. Looting and fires, it's going to be crazy. This on the heels of a weekend where there's already violence in Minneapolis. Hundreds of arrests after Dante Wright was shot accidentally by a police officer. Maxine Waters, the congresswoman, is telling people she went to Minneapolis to incite violence. Told the people, she was asked specifically, what do people need to do if he's not charged with murder? And she says, oh, it has to be murder, not manslaughter. If not, we have to become more confrontational and show them we mean business. This is an elected official in the United States House of Representatives going out of her district and flying to Minneapolis and telling the people there, if it's manslaughter and not murder, we have to become more confrontational and show them we mean business. I mean, can you imagine if a Republican did this? This was a sick weekend in Chicago at a McDonald's drive-thru. A couple of thugs jump out of a car and go up to a car at the drive-thru and shoot the driver and his 7-year-old daughter in the back seat. The 7-year-old daughter is dead. Multiple gunshot wounds. The driver apparently is still alive. They didn't get him in the head. They shot him in the torso and is still alive. There is ridiculous video. This is crazy. This is the stuff that Twitter allows, but they won't allow Trump to tweet. There is insanely offensive video on social media of the officers rushing to the car and taking this 7-year-old girl out. There's just blood everywhere. And rushing her over to a squad car to get her to the hospital as fast as they can. These are heroes. There must have been 10 cops ascended on that car to try to help that little girl and get the man out of the driver's seat. They didn't say, it's not in the report. We know what Chicago is. This looks like gang violence. Looks like retribution. And it's disgusting. In Austin, Texas, apparently a domestic issue occurred. They're looking for a man who used to be a police officer. And he shot 3 people and killed them. And this looks domestic. He had had some problems with his wife or girlfriend or something of that nature. And then was charged and accused of rape. And was out on bond, and I can't connect all the dots, but this wasn't a random go to a grocery store, shoot them up. It was at a Trader Joe's. Is that what they are, the grocery stores? It was actually right across from an apartment complex where my son used to live. In Austin, Texas, they're looking for him. In Indiana, we saw a suicidal maniac just open up and fire on people. So 3 different instances and occurrences in a very short period of time in 3 different categories in America. Gang-related, appearing, this allegedly, these all appear to be gang-related, domestic, and suicidal maniac. What we can do about it, I don't know. One thing we can start doing is stop giving their names, stop putting it on TV, stop making heroes out of them, mugshots and whatever. Crazy people will be incentivized by, at least I'll be remembered. Okay? My life's going down the drain. I wouldn't be surprised if the guy who killed these people in Austin, he knows he's looking at a life sentence now. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes his own life. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You've gotten your revenge or whatever it was domestic. You're just going to go live on death row the rest of your life? The suicidal guy in Indiana was clearly crazy. And thought, well, I'll do this and people will know me or remember me. It's bad. The gang violence is brazen. Here's the problem with gang violence. And it's not so much that, hey, I'm going to be a story on the news, as it is, I've read many stories about this. And this is despicable about the McDonald's drive-thru and the 7-year-old girl that's dead. It is likely, it's not a guarantee, it is likely the person who fired into that car and killed that little girl is bragging about it, how he did it at a McDonald's drive-thru, that he thinks that's cool, that that's brazen, that he did it in broad daylight at a McDonald's drive-thru and is bragging about the crime he committed. It's unbelievable, and I've got no solution. I know this. I know it doesn't help when every movie, every show, every video game glamorizes, or not even glamorizes, and in some cases it does. It clearly leads people to believe that this is a cool way of life. You know, even if you're just playing video games your whole life where you're the hero and you're getting the bad guys, it clearly glamorizes it. And I'll put the United States military in this category because if you've seen their commercials for recruitment now, they look like video games. Their scenes are, come do this in real life. They look like video games and they basically appeal to 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds that, you know, you've been playing these games, come live the real life. And they show United States military crashing into a place like it looks like when they got bin Laden. They glorify it, that go do this for your country. Well, they know that 16-year-old males' brains are wired in a certain way that if you're playing these violent video games all day, every day, you think about two things when you're 16. You get hooked into that. That's adrenaline rush. Okay, you're not playing sports. You're not out on a football field. You're gaming and you're into it and it's an adrenaline rush. That and girls. That's it. And I know these violent video games, the good guys that shoot the bad guys get the girls. The girls are running around naked in the video games. It's all just right there. It's all just, we know how the human brain is wired. We know what men are about. It's just unbelievable. So we're creating this culture and we're doing all these things. And I don't know what we can do about it in America because I'm torn by this. I believe in free speech. I believe in the right to the arts. I think that ultimately what we do as society is we decide what is good and bad in the arts or, you know, whatever. We make our own choices. My choice is to not play those video games and not see violent movies. But it certainly doesn't stop millions of people from doing it. And the effects of that are not good. You know, we used to sit here and talk about 20, 30 years ago, they'd say, oh, the advertisements on TV, we can't advertise cigarettes on television because it's bad for kids. Well, these were worthy causes, and I kind of understand where that was coming from. But are you kidding me? Can't advertise cigarettes because it's bad for kids? To glamorize it or whatever? Are you kidding me? The things that are in the video games and in art, in movies, compared to smoking? The whole thing's absurd. I wish I had an answer. I just know this is going to be a violent week. I know there's going to be some bad things happen, and I'm just disgusted by what I saw. Gunning people down at a Trader Joe's in Austin, a McDonald's drive-thru in Chicago, a suicidal maniac in Indiana. We've got riots in Minneapolis and cities all over the country, and we haven't even gotten to the verdict yet in the George Floyd trial. We haven't even gotten there. So what's going to happen? I know what I'm hoping for. You know, I'm hoping for some really good winter weather. Keep people off the streets. Be a godsend at this point. Really bad weather. Lots of rain, cold, snow. Anything we can get in most cities in America would be a good thing this week. If it could be timed just right, I think would help us a lot. But I hate violence. I hate talking about it. And I fear that this week we're going to be seeing a lot of it in America. We are so much better than this, folks. We are so much better than this. And how we've become the country that the less than 1% of the tail wags the entire dog is beyond me because most people are good. An overwhelming number of Americans are good. And they don't like this, and they want it to end, and they believe that real law and order helps toward this end. And lacking in law and order promotes it. We've certainly seen that. With the riotous violence on the left allowed to happen, it will get worse. And it has gotten worse. Oh, they locked down the right. A few people go storming into the Capitol and kick their feet up on somebody's desk and take a selfie. Those people are going to jail. Unarmed, didn't set fire to anything. Most of them acting goofy, shouldn't have done what they did. Not condoning it in any way. Those people are really getting prosecuted. Two sets of laws, two justices in America. I'm afraid we're going to see that this week. All right, I am 4 days mask-free. 4 days. Went the entire weekend. Went to a lot of places. Grocery stores, Quick Trip, a couple of restaurants. Yep, everywhere I went. A couple times I had it in my pocket. A couple times I didn't. Didn't even have it on me. Went to JT's in Harrisonville on Friday night and left it in the car. I just forgot. It was in the car. I went in, and Larry and the crew down at JT's Steak and Seafood in Harrisonville. Really interesting place Larry's got down there. It's more like a roadhouse, right? Like a small town roadhouse on the square in Harrisonville. You might think of it more like a bar. There's a we actually ate in the bar. The steak is as good as Capital Grill. And you would never know it. You might even go in there and say, oh, let's order some dinner. And my wife would say, I'd sure like to get the salmon. I'd say, I'd sure like to get the steak, but I don't know. And then you get it, and it's insane. It's certified Angus. It's the best cuts you can get. Her salmon was huge and delicious. She just loved it. Crazy, crazy good. But it's the kind of place where you wear a trucker cap and a hoodie into, right? You come as you are. Love that about Harrisonville. There wasn't a mask in the place. I mean, nobody. Nobody was walking in with masks. There are no masks in Harrisonville. It was cool. JT's on the square. Go down there and check it out. They're only open. They open at 4 o'clock. They're not open by day. They have a staff problem. Actually, what they need is help wanted. If you're looking for a job and you live near Harrisonville, they'll hire you. They need help. They were busy, man. It's a big place. It's a big sprawling place. Remember the guy named Del Dunmire, the local businessman, a little bit nutty, crazy, whatever? He built this place like 20 years ago, and it's one of those giant places that is built to have like 8 bars or seating areas completely different in one building. So it's like 3 levels. There's a giant outdoor deck. There's a rooftop where you can see the clock tower. It looks like Back to the Future. You know, like the DeLorean's going to come running through. It's really cool. But, you know, it needs work. They just bought the place. They're turning it into steak and seafood, and there's so many. You won't see where it need work. We got the tour. Like, there's banquet rooms and stuff upstairs and decks and band stages and things like that that aren't even open yet that they got to fix up and do whatever to. But if you want a great steak or salmon, JT Steak and Seafood in Harrisonville, we went there Friday night. The point is, that began my 4 days mask-free. I thought, well, I can start this baby in Harrisonville. This will be easy. And I did it. I got gas over the weekend at a gas station, and I went in to get an iced tea, and I didn't put it on. I saw somebody else walk in without the mask. I didn't see that person inside not wearing their mask. And there were 7 or 8 other people running around inside the Quick Trip, and they had masks on, and the person working had it. And there was a sign on the door that said mask required. But I made my tea. I went to the counter. I paid for it. Not a person said a word. Not a thing. And continued to do it all weekend long. And I'm going to have it on me, I guess, or in the car. I'll go back, whatever. My wife met some friends for lunch late afternoon on Friday before we went to Harrisonville. And she went to a place nearby the house, and she said she walked in. We were inspired by Charlotte O'Hara. If you didn't hear the podcast last week, she's the Johnson County Commissioner who said, stop wearing masks. You're not going to get cited or fined, and they can't really do anything to you. And if the business kicks you out, you now found a business you don't want to deal with. Great. She says, we need to be the old normal or the new normal, whichever way it applies. So we started doing it. We took it to heart. Jessica said she walked into this place, and the lady at the little hostess station said, do you have a mask? And Jessica said, sure do. And she walked right by and went over and sat down with her friends. She never even took it out. Yep, I got a mask. If you're going to ask me, do I have one? The answer is yes, I have one. See ya. And she walked right on by and sat down with them. Awesome. I told you about a week ago, we went to a breakfast place, and I was still in the, oh, you got to put your mask on to step in here to the waiting area. I said, there's 2 seats at the bar. Can we go sit over there? Sure. So I walk with my mask through there to the 2 seats at the bar, not getting within 6 feet of anyone. My mask is on. And then I sit down and take it off. I'm sitting next to a guy that's eating, and we're about 1.5 feet apart. That I don't know from Adam. It just makes no sense. None of this stuff makes any sense. So no mask, no worry. I'm pretty happy with that. I'm pretty happy with that. Now, the virus itself is an entirely different thing. There is a study. Dr. Michael Stiles, who's a regular listener of the podcast, he's an Overland Park doctor. He sends me all kinds of stuff from his medical journals that goes against the medical journals that are reported in the media. And the latest is a study out of Israel that says 50% of the population in Israel has been vaccinated, but they're pretty much done. They believe they're at herd immunity. because the others that have not gotten the shot, they believe for the most part, have had COVID. And the study is actually asking the question, not definitively concluding, asking the question, are you better off if you've had COVID not getting the vaccine? It is proven effective. All of this is working for people who have had COVID and did not get the vaccine. That those people, the translation here is, we know 50% were vaccinated, so they're not transmitting the virus. Well, the other people overwhelmingly have had it, and they're not transmitting it either, nor are they getting it. Which is what? Is that scientific or is that common sense? That's common sense. So I've had this fight going on in my family. I've got some kids that are upset that I have not gotten my shot. And I said, listen, I'm not a helicopter dad. You kids are grown. You get to live your life. I get to live mine. That's the way it is. When you were a kid, I made decisions for you. I vaccinated you. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I don't see the point. Here's my life experience. I don't ever remember having the flu in my life, ever. But I know this for sure. I come into contact with the flu virus every winter. No question I'm around somebody that is transmitting the flu virus. I got COVID this winter because I got around somebody with COVID and my body never had that before. And it didn't fight it off. But I'm pretty sure my body, from my experience and my health, and I'm lucky as hell. I thank God every day that I've been healthy my entire life. I think my body's going to fight it off now because it's just common sense. The flu is a virus. I don't get the flu. Why don't I get the flu? I've never had a flu shot. And I'm never getting one. I see no point in getting the flu shot if I don't get the flu. I asked my doctor, why don't I get the flu? Should I get the flu shot? He says, do you get the flu? I said, no. He says, your antibodies are kicking its ass. You've built up an immunity to it. You've been around the virus. Your body identifies it and it fights it off. I believe the human body, when healthy, and your good antibodies, fights off the virus better than a vaccine. It's what my body is built for. It's what the human body is built to do. I've had the virus. I strongly believe my antibodies are there. And if I get into contact with COVID again, I won't know it. I don't think I'll even know it if I get around COVID again. Heck, I may have been, well, I've probably been around it. To be honest, I've probably been exposed to the virus since I've had it. Nothing. And I don't know why, and we see this happening in Israel, and they're proving this out, and they're literally asking the question, and a lot of scientists and doctors are saying, are you better off if you've had it not getting the vaccine? People on the left, their heads will explode if you even bring this up. These are real doctors, real scientists, and real studies, and Israel is the latest. And they are asking the question because they're leading to the answer that they believe at this point, and that is, you're better off if you've had the virus not getting the shot. You're just better off. Your body's built for this, and it's going to work. And this COVID-19 thing is going to be gone once it cycles through. So people on the left don't want to hear that. And what I don't understand about people on the left, and this, it's so hard for me because I'm not going to call out one of my children or family members. I got plenty of family members that are liberals. They feel the same way. They feel sorry for me. They think I'm stupid. And they think I'm stupid. And they feel bad for me. Truly, about a lot of different issues. Oh, so sorry your life has come to this that you just don't see the light. You're just not as smart as us. You just don't understand. Like, okay, that's fine. You live your life, I'll live mine. And that's the difference. Because while liberals run around and talk about inclusion and diversity, they don't mean a word of it. They don't mean any of it. Inclusion and diversity to them means we like this diverse, crazy thought over here, and we want everyone to believe that. And if you don't, we hate you. We think you're stupid. We hate you. We want to cancel you. That's not inclusion and diversity. Inclusion and diversity is we accept all people, no matter what, young or old, dumb or smart, black or white, Christian or Muslim, doesn't make any difference. We accept you. Just don't hurt other people. Don't be violent. Don't hurt other people. Don't break the law. We're all good here. I live my life, you live yours. It's a simple concept. And I don't know what happened to the left, that this is, you know, this party, when I was a kid, I was too young to understand, but the hippies, all the hippies, the protesting, the anti-war, stuff in the 60s. Well, this is the war party now. You know, Biden feels like he wants to get into trouble with Russia and Ukraine. I don't know what's going on. I suspect we'll be in some conflicts now that Biden is in there. I don't understand anything that they stand for. They basically want to take fringe things and force it on the American people. In some cases, it's not fringe. Abortion is, I think, relatively close to a 50-50 topic for a lot of people. But with abortion, the argument is my body, my choice. That's it. That's just simply been their stance forever. Pro-abortion people, it's an easy mantra. My body, my choice. But that doesn't work for me with a vaccine? I'm not talking about killing a baby. I'm not talking about killing a baby here. I'm talking about getting a shot. My body, my choice doesn't apply to me on getting a shot. And I'm not even killing a baby. I'm just deciding whether or not to get a shot. These people in the hypocrisy, it's so sad. And one of the points I made was we're going to let 3 million people into this country this year at the border. We're not going to vaccinate them. We're going to put them on buses and airplanes and send them to swing states. Then we're going to try to get them citizenship so they can vote. That's helping with COVID? You want to talk about me getting a shot when I've had COVID? I'm the problem? How about the 3 million people that Biden's letting in that they're going to pour into swing states that aren't getting shots? Oh, they're really worried about COVID at the border, aren't they? It's just so bad and inconsistent. And I think what happens on their side is this. I don't think the left, I was thinking about this over the weekend, and I really wanted to make this point on the podcast this week. I don't think the left and people on the left are as well-rounded as conservatives. I think there's way more people on the left that it's about one issue. Okay, so I have a family member who like literally is a scientist, and it's about the virus and the vaccine, and that's like the single most important thing on earth. I get it. Everybody has something that, you know, that this is so, and so that person moves to the left with the left because she agrees with the people on the left. But that doesn't mean you're in lockstep with everything. And things like some people on the left that are really into the virus or the vaccine, it's never occurred to them that getting more people to take the vaccine is less important than letting 3 million people in and not vaccinate them. Allowing 3 million people in that you don't know whether they have it, you don't know where they're from, you don't know their name, and you're just going to send them to swing states and let them do whatever. That's a much bigger problem than people that have had COVID not getting the shot. I mean, if we're being honest at all, even remotely honest, what's a bigger problem in this country? Somebody who's had COVID saying, I'm not getting the vaccine right now, or 3 million people coming in from parts unknown, not getting tested, not getting vaccinated, and we just spread them out across the country. What is the bigger problem? But they will not even address that problem. They won't even think about that problem. They're not very well-rounded, and they certainly have no common sense. They don't look at things and go, well, yeah, that's right. Whoa, wait a second. My body, my choice on the vaccine. No, it's not your body, your choice. You have to get it. It's your responsibility to others. Like, really? So my body, my choice, I can kill a baby and I have no responsibility to that person? It doesn't make any sense. There is no common sense. There's no deliberation. There's no thought into, am I being consistent for what I stand for? The beautiful thing about being conservative is this. It's very simple. I live my life, you live yours, and in a perfect world, the government leaves us both alone. That's it. We're conservative. That's it. Right? I don't ride a motorcycle. All right? I think it's cool that people do. I really do. I kind of wish I had the guts to have a motorcycle. I don't. I think it looks fun. I think riding a motorcycle looks really fun, and I'd like to be able to do that. I just have not stepped up and said, that's me. I'm just probably too late to the game, whatever. I love it that people ride motorcycles. And for me, I love it. And I see these people come in, some of these places on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, you know, like 30 bikers pull up and they come in and they maybe come in and have one beer and then they leave and they ride on. I'm like, man, that's just free and open and fresh air and the road, and it just looks fabulous to me. It just looks fantastic. I don't think my wife would like it if I rode. That's another issue, but gosh, everybody's different. I live my life. You live yours. Don't hurt anybody. That's it. And in a perfect world, the government leaves us alone. So when you have that as your compass, when you're conservative and that's what you are, and you live every day that way, and it's so weird because they paint us all as you're racist or you're this or you're... Not really. I mean, pretty much every conservative I know, you know, part of conservatism is you just don't care. You just don't care what other people do. Go do your thing. You be you, I'll be me. Hopefully the government leaves us alone and life's good. That does not work on the left. They find one issue and then they tell you how to live. They will not let go. They're going to mandate something on you. So we're looking in Michigan now where Governor Whitmer, you know, this lady's a piece of work. She's getting in all kinds of trouble because she's not locking Michigan down now. They're having a spike in Michigan with the virus. And she says, basically, she's been sued by her legislature and she can't do anything about it now. She's handcuffed. She can't lock it down. Here's the difference between conservatives and Republicans. Conservatives in the legislature said, we don't think you have the right to lock people down. And they were correct. As governor, she doesn't have that right. There's no law on the books that says the governor can close Michigan. What the Republicans are saying in Michigan is, everybody go live their own life. Be responsible. They're imploring people to wear masks, take precautions. If you've been exposed, stay home for 2 weeks. They're giving all these things out, but go live your life. If you've been vaccinated, go live. If you've had COVID, feel free. Respect others, do your best, but we're not going to mandate this as a government. It's completely the opposite of what liberals say. They want inclusion and diversity, but they really don't. They want control. They want to tell you, inclusion and diversity for them is, we're going to tell you how to be inclusive and diverse. We'll tell you what's right. You abide by that, or you will be punished somehow. That's not real inclusion and diversity. Real diversity is, we got a lot of people here in Michigan. Millions have been vaccinated. Millions have had it. Millions are at risk and maybe want to stay home. But we're not going to ruin people's lives by closing their businesses and locking the state down again. Okay, we've all had a year of experience with COVID. We know if we're at risk. We know what our particular position is. Go be responsible. Live your life. I think that's reasonable at this point. I think it's more than reasonable, and I think Michigan is the classic example of that. And in Israel, it has worked beautifully. They're 50% vaccinated in Israel. The rest of the population mostly has had COVID, and they're like, we're just not seeing it here. We just don't have much COVID in Israel, and I think that's awesome. We are brought to you today by Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. Your smile is just the start at Fry Orthodontics. Dr. Jeremy has started two new programs at Fry Ortho. The first is Invisalign is now the same price as braces. That could save you as much as $1,000. If you really want Invisalign, which is fewer appointments, less time missed, it's less painful, and it's better hygiene. That's what Invisalign is over braces. If that's what you want to do, a lot of people were not doing it because it was $1,000 more. Well, at Fry Orthodontics, it's the same price as braces now. And that's probably the only place you're going to find that. So if Invisalign is for you, man, do it right now. Also, if you go the braces route, free retainers for life at Fry Ortho. That's especially important because your teenager will lose their retainer. They will. And every time you do it, it's $300 to $500 or whatever. And so that's crazy. Free retainers for life at Fry Orthodontics. And Invisalign is now the same price as braces. That's great. That's great that he's saving you money. What's really great is these are the best orthodontists in Kansas City, and it is not close. He hires the best of the best. Dr. Jeremy is awesome, and the people he hires are simply the best. So try Fry Ortho, fryorthodontics.com. Buck Roofing online at rbuckroofing.com. I have not talked to Ron in a few days. I believe this week they're starting on the roof of my house. Looking forward to that. Whether it's a residential small repair or a giant new roof on a commercial building or an apartment complex. Doesn't matter. Ron Buck can do it all. He is the Midwest's finest roofing contractor, residential and commercial. Online at rbuckroofing.com or call 384-2680 and sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Joslyn's Jewelry. Hey, hey, hey. Couple weeks away, it's Mother's Day. Oh, did I just do that? That's bad. That's really bad. Joslyn's is not bad. Joslyn's good for Mother's Day. For your mom or the mother of your children, get to Joslyn's 95th and Antioch in Overland Park or online at joslynsjewelry.com, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Now, I could sit here for I don't know how long and lather, rinse, repeat about Salvador Perez. I've been on a salvy. I've been on as big a tear on this podcast with Salvador Perez last week as he has been at the plate. The guy's a freak. He's the rare baseball player that literally can win the game for you consistently. In the last week, we've seen him. Well, I think the Royals are 9-5 and in first place because Salvi has won 5 games for them. 5. I know we have this the stat war, wins against replacement. Basically says if you just brought up the average player and plugged him in instead of Salvador Perez, how many games would that affect? Well, Salvi's war is outstanding. I mean, it's tremendous. His number is really good. It's also really low. Okay? So I think the Royals are 9-5 because Salvador Perez did not start the year on the IL. If Salvador Perez had COVID this year, the Royals would not be 9-5. They'd probably be 5-9. It's been unbelievable. And he just continues to do it. Sunday, a 2-run bomb to win another game. He had a walk-off pickoff last week. He picked a guy off third base for the 27th out in the 9th inning to win the game. The tying run at third base. Whoop, you're out. Salvi got you. Game over. You just can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's just unbelievable how great he is at so many different things and facets of a baseball game. We obviously see when he's great at the plate, when he's getting big hits, giving the Royals leads. I'm one of the very few guys in the media that you heard when they signed this contract that that's great. Salvador Perez, $82 million, great. People were like, oh, that's too much money. He's going to be a broken down injured player. Who cares? I'll bank on it and root for Salvador Perez to not be that guy. I'll take a look at what he's like when he's 35 years old. Can always be a DH if he's healthy. He's become so much better hitter. He doesn't swing at nearly as many bad balls as he used to. He's just getting better and better. And if he breaks down as a catcher and plays some first base or DH, who cares? You're in the American League. There's no shame in that. Pay the guy. The dude is a winner, and I don't care about his numbers. You know, we talked last week about Hall of Fame numbers and things. I think he'll stat out there with a lot of catchers that are in the Hall of Fame, or better, even though he missed all of, 19, and then COVIDed out some time in 20, and he's likely to miss some time going forward. He's probably going to get hurt and miss a lot of time. That's what will keep him out of the Hall of Fame. But it's more than that for me. Salvador Perez plays the game the way it's meant to be played. He has fun on every pitch, folks. He can't wait to get to the ballpark and play. His teammates feed off of it. He's a winner. Salvador Perez is a winner. I really don't care about the rest. The guy's a winner. He's the guy that you want the ball in their hands with 3 seconds left on the clock to shoot the three-pointer. You wouldn't go anywhere but Salvi. You want him at the plate in the 8th inning with a guy on base to hit you a 2-run homer and win 2-0. That's exactly what you want in Salvador Perez. He's awesome. Tampa's coming in for 3. The weather's going to get in the way of this, I fear. I think they'll be okay. It's going to be cold Monday night. The temperature's going to start dropping. We'll see what happens with this series with Tampa. They're 8-8. This team was in the World Series last year, and they expect big things again this year. But the Royals are 9-5 in first place. Only the Red Sox in the American League have a better record. I think they're 10-5. Dodgers in the National League are something like 13-2. They're crazy. But the Royals are off to just a great start. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, how long can it hold up? Well, early on, they lost some games that weren't real pretty. There were real flaws. But there's no flaw in a game where you go out and give up 2 hits and you win 2-0. And one swing of the bat wins the game. Who do you think it would be? Salvador Perez. Of course. Brady Singer was insanely good. The bullpen did its job. The Royals give up no runs. You're going to win. You give up no runs, you're going to win. So that's just a really good, solid win. 3 out of 4 from the Blue Jays over the weekend. And the Royals are 9-5. That's awesome. Sporting Kansas City got a win this weekend. They opened the season with a 2-1 win over New York Red Bulls. I know I don't spend a lot of time talking soccer here, but I sometimes Sporting, you know, I root for them. I know that the owners and the people involved are mostly conservative. I like that. It's weird because most of the fans are liberal. Soccer fans, generally speaking, are Democrats, liberals, whatever. They like the one world, right? Okay. And soccer is a global game. And the reason that they like soccer is because it's global. And they like European soccer. And they like Brazilian soccer. And they like every kind of soccer that's out there. And they love Sporting Kansas City. But make no mistake about it, if you polled people, if you walked around Sporting Park and you asked people whether they were a Democrat or Republican, I think you'd be 80% Democrats in there. But the ownership group is not. These people off of Cerner, through and through. You know, Neil Patterson built a company on conservatism. And so the ownership group, not so much. But the fan base, yes. So I know that this particular podcast is not overwhelmingly a Sporting Kansas City or soccer fan base. I figure about a quarter of you probably are. But man, there's a lot to root for sometimes with Sporting Kansas City. Peter Vermes as a coach is a badass. He just is. He's just an old school badass. And I love that. And they make tough decisions. And they make unpopular decisions because it helps them win. And they said goodbye to Matt Beisler. And there was nothing easy about letting go of Matt Beisler. Ridiculously hard thing to do. But they did it. And they've gotten younger. And they start this game on Saturday night with a 19-year-old goalkeeper. John Polskamp is 19 years old, basically the fourth string keeper. The first three keepers are all injured. So Sporting, like a sacrificial lamb, is going out on the road to open the season against New York in the Big Apple, and they got a 19-year-old goalkeeper who's never played before, the fourth string guy, and he gives up a goal, and they're down 1-0, and Sporting comes back and gets a penalty kick goal, and then Daniel Shalloway, a minute later, tips one in, and almost runs into the goal, almost hurt himself, tapping it in. They go up 2-1, and from there, the kid plays what? 40 more minutes? Longer than that? 50 more minutes? Without giving up a goal, and they win 2-1, and it was amazing. Good for Sporting Kansas City. Really cool. And in golf over the weekend, Stuart Cink won in Hilton Head. This is only noteworthy. I know not a lot of you are golf fans. There's two things noteworthy about Stuart Cink. One, as I said, I would never, ever, ever root for him again. If you remember, Tom Watson was 59 years old in 2009. There's a picture on my wall in my podcast studio from Turnberry in Scotland. And it's Tom Watson making the turn, and he had those black pants on and the light blue sweater. And he's got a 3-shot lead when he makes the turn. He's 59 years old. He's going to be the oldest person to ever win a major. Amazing story, 2009. And all you see in this picture is the lighthouse behind him. It's really the coolest thing I have, and Tom personally gave it to me. And it says, Kevin, best of luck, Tom Watson, because I don't get autographs. I don't ask for things. I don't take pictures with people, and Tom just gave this to me. I did a favor for Tom, a thing for him, and he sent it over, and I just about cried when he sent it, and it's just the greatest picture ever because he sent this to me and gave this to me not from the 82 U.S. Open where he chipped in at Pebble Beach, not putting on a green jacket at the Masters. I honestly believe that this man believes there is absolute honor, dignity, and glory in the way that he lost that event. He's got a 3-shot lead right there, and when I look at his face in this picture, all I see is stress. And something's going through his mind, like, am I going to pull this off? He's 59. It's not the Senior British Open. It's the British Open. It's the Open Championship. And Stuart Cink was finished more than an hour earlier than Tom Watson and posted a score. Stuart Cink made about a 15-foot putt on the last hole for birdie, and the announcers kind of joked because Watson had a 3-shot lead. Well, he's in the clubhouse. He's posted a score. He can't go get on an airplane yet. He's going to have lunch and stick around and see what happens. And so we waited about an hour and a half, and we saw what happened on the last hole. Tom Watson's right down the middle. He's got an 8-iron in his hand. You never say it's an easy shot, but at this point he has a 1-shot lead over Stuart Cink, who's been freezing in the clubhouse, chilling in the clubhouse for an hour and a half. And Tom hit what he said was the most purely struck ball of the entire tournament, square on the club face, square at the hole. Because of adrenaline and trying to ice off this tournament, he hits it probably his landing spot was about 10 feet farther than he thought. The ball released, it rolled, it went past the hole, trickled to the edge of the green, and trickled down the hill. Watson at that point decided to putt the ball up the hill instead of chip it, which to me was an odd choice because Tom Watson's most famous shots in his career were great wedge shots. He putts it, and he putts it about 6 or 7, 8 feet past the hole and missed the putt. He bogeys, goes into a playoff, and loses to Stuart Cink. I cried like a baby. Like a baby. My kids were watching with me. I said, you don't understand. This was Tom Watson. When I was your age growing up, he was the best player in the world. This is my guy. And they watched and they were riveted. I'm telling you, that was really the only time I can remember that my kids, and they were obviously at home and younger, that we all just sat. It was a Sunday morning, obviously. This thing comes on early in the morning, the Open Championship. And we all were just riveted by it. And I swore I'd never root for Stuart Sink again. It was not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. He described how difficult it was for him to win that Open Championship, that everywhere he went, people shunned him. They were upset that he beat Tom Watson, that he had sponsorship issues, he got hate mail, he got all kinds of stuff. It was very difficult to be Stuart Sink. The guy then goes a decade without winning. He'd been winning on tour for 12 years, and all of a sudden after this event, it just dries up for him, and he's not the same player, and he goes through hardship, and people don't like Stuart Sink because he beat Tom Watson. It was hard being Stuart Sink. He and his wife are from Alabama. Yesterday, he's got a 3-shot lead at Hilton Head. He's 47 years old. He won an event in the fall, so his game has come around. He won for the first time in the fall, 2020, and now he's winning again. He's 3 shots up. His son is his caddy. His son's name is Reagan. R-E-A-G-A-N, just like the only other picture I have on the wall in my podcast room, and that's Ronald Reagan outside the Oval Office leaning against one of the pillars of the White House, signed an autograph that my father-in-law got for me. That's the two people on the wall in my office, Tom Watson, Ronald Reagan, and Stuart Sink brings them both together. He defeated Watson, who was maybe the most dignified runner-up at an Open Championship ever. And then I learn that Stuart Sink is so conservative that he named his son Reagan, R-E-A-G-A-N, and he's caddying for him. I should have looked this up. I don't know. Reagan appeared to be maybe 20 years old, now maybe 22. Reagan is caddying for him. It's a father-son. They're walking arm in arm on the 18th hole. They're talking the whole way. The mom is crying. The other son lives in Wyoming. He flew in for the Sunday round. His girlfriend or wife was with him. They're all right there. This unbelievable moment at Hilton Head, a good tournament, a really good tournament. Excellent players in the field. The prodigy Colin Morikawa, the 24-year-old who's the next big thing, is in the group with Sink. He's 23 years older than the guy he's competing against, and he beats him. And I was really happy for Stuart Sink. It's taken me time, but I know all I need to know about that family. He wasn't canceled. He got to keep playing golf, but it was sort of like mini being canceled. The fact that he had beaten Watson and so many people turned on him like that had to be really, really hard. And now here he is, a great American family. His wife survived cancer a few years ago, a tremendous love story, 2 grown sons, one's caddying on the bag. He named his son Reagan. Are you kidding me? Be a Stuart Sink fan with me. I can do it. You can do it. Congratulations, Stuart Sink, for winning the Heritage Classic in Hilton Head, South Carolina. There it is. KKHI is off and running this week. Going to post up a patron pod today. I made an appearance on the Pete Mundo show this morning on KCMO Talk Radio. We'll put that up. Whenever I do an appearance somewhere, we put it right up for the patrons. In case they missed it, they get that right away. We'll be doing the Between the Lines podcast tomorrow with Danny Klinkscale. $5 a month or more if you want. Sign up at kkhasissues.com. If you'd like to become a patron and get the content, we do a newsletter on the weekends that seems to be popular with folks. So join up by going to kkhasissues.com, click the patron button. You can sign right up and become a patron. If not, so many of you are just doing all I could ever ask, and that is telling other people about the podcast or having them hit the follow, like, or subscribe button. That's absolutely free. It is working. It is helping. Thank you so much to all of you for doing that. And I just appreciate you listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.